This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. One night, a father and his son were walking down the street of a major city. When they came near an alley, they saw a young man in his 20s sitting on the curb, weeping profusely. They asked him what was wrong, and he said, "My mother and I are homeless and starving. She's so weak she can't even walk right now. She's sitting on the ground back in the alley behind us. I came out here to cry because I can't stand to watch her suffer anymore." The father and his son looked at each other, and without speaking a word, they both knew what they were going to do. The father said, "My son and I will help you. Please take us to your mother, and we will help her to walk to the nearest restaurant where we will buy you both a hot meal. And after that, we will get you a room at the nearest hotel and give you some money to buy groceries for the next couple days." The homeless youth then smiled and then led the father and his son back into the dark alley. As they were walking into the alley, they saw a bunch of boxes stacked on top of each other. The homeless youth then said, "My mom is just around the corner on the other side of those boxes." But when the father and his son walked around the boxes, they were shocked when five other young men jumped out of the darkness. Four of them were holding knives, the other held a gun. The first youth, who had led them into this trap, said to the father, "Now give me your wallet." The father gave him his wallet. The youth took out all the money and all the credit cards and threw the empty wallet on the ground. The father then said, "Please let us go. You have what you want." However, the youth then said, "No way. We're not done yet." At that moment, two of them held the father, while the other four grabbed his son. They spit on his son, they called him a sissy do-gooder, and after that, two of them started cutting the son with their knives, while the others beat him over the head with their fists. Before the son died, he looked up at his father with blood dripping down his face and with pain in his eyes, and the son said, "Father, please, promise, give them all of my life insurance money that you'll get after I die. I want you to do this so that they'll know that you love them and that you forgive them." The father answered, "Yes, my son, I will do as you ask." And after the father spoke those words, his son died. Does that story sound true to you? I mean, could you show such love to wicked people like that? Could I forgive men after watching them beat and kill my son who only wanted to help them? I don't think I have that much love in my heart. I don't think you have that much love in your hearts either. The four Gospels record statements that Jesus spoke while he was nailed to the cross. Last Sunday we heard one of them, and today we hear these words that Jesus spoke from the cross. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Last Sunday, we heard that Jesus' cross words are actually sermons. Jesus speaks these words from the cross to us so that we might repent of our sin and trust in Him as our Savior. So, what is Jesus trying to teach us today? Jesus is teaching us two things, really. First, Jesus is teaching us about God's amazing love for us. And second, Jesus is teaching us how God's love will change our hearts. You know, many people in our nation know little or nothing about the Bible. However, if people know any Bible passage at all, they usually know this one: God is love. Most everybody's okay with the words, "God is love." I mean, why would we have a problem with that, right? But do we really understand what those three words mean? Do we know what "God is love" actually entails. We live in a world full of people who know nothing about true love. You see, for many people, love is a feeling or an emotion. But when the feeling of love ends, so does the friendship or the marriage. On top of that, love in this world is often conditional. I'll love you if. I'll love you when. I'll love you as long as. But when the conditions are not met, the love ends. Now, we like to think that we're loving people. But let's face it, so often we end up hurting the very people we should love the most. Children disobey and disrespect their parents. Parents ignore or abuse their children. Wives and husbands become self-centered and eventually break their marriage vows. Fellow Christians in a congregation may gossip about each other, may even hold grudges against one another. We like to think that we're loving people, but we need to hear these words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5. Listen. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. Did you hear what Jesus said? Be perfect as God is perfect. But how can we possibly do that? We can't. You see, God's love is beyond what we sinners can comprehend or accomplish. For example, most of you probably know these words from John 3, verse 16, which read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The question is, though, what kind of world did God choose to love? God chose to love a world who are by nature his enemies. I mean, think of it. Even though we sin against God every day by desire, thought, word, and deed, he still gives us food, he still gives us clothing, he still gives us shelter, he still gives us many, many other blessings. But more than all of this, the Father sent his Son to love us. But what did we do to Jesus? We put him on a cross. Now, I know what some people might say when they hear me say that we put him on a cross, because I'm tempted to say the same thing. Wait a minute, Pastor. I didn't put Jesus on the cross. Those evil people back then, they're the ones who killed Jesus. Those Jews and Romans back then, they're the guilty ones. But me, I'm innocent of Christ's death. I know that's what I'd like to think. But the fact is, we're not innocent. You see, as you've heard me say many times, no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. Remember, Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus could have wiped out his enemies at any time. Jesus could have come down from that cross just as some mockingly challenged him to do. But he didn't come down. So then, what kept Jesus on the cross? Not the nails. What held Jesus on the cross? Your sins, my sins. Every time we hurt the ones we ought to love, every time we think we have a right to hate others, a right to hold a grudge, we thereby mock Jesus, spit on him, and nail him to the cross. But here's the really amazing thing. Jesus lets us do it to him. Why? Because he loves us. That's why Jesus gave you this sermon from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So what's Jesus trying to teach us with these words? Well, let's look at the second part of his statement first. When he says, they don't know what they're doing. Now, some wrongly interpret these words as though the ones who crucified Jesus were totally innocent because they didn't know any better. But that's ridiculous, my friends. If they were innocent, then they didn't need to be forgiven, right? My friends, they were not innocent, and neither are we. So then, what did Jesus mean when he said, they don't know what they're doing? What Jesus basically means is this. Father, they're absolutely crazy. They don't have a clue about true love. They're totally messed up. We need to help them. We need to save them. You see, unless the Holy Spirit begins to change our hearts, the fact is we can't love as God loves because we don't know what we're doing. In other words, our minds are messed up because our hearts are by nature in rebellion against God. By nature, we are self-centered people. Think of it, we can't love our enemies because we can't even perfectly love the people who are closest to us. So when Jesus says they don't know what they're doing, what he means is that I need help. You need help. We all need help. And the good news is that God gives us help. Because Jesus says, Father, forgive them. But how can the Father forgive us? How can the Father forgive people who are mocking and killing his own son? The answer seems crazy to us sinners. You see, God forgives us because he actually chose to damn his own son in our place. Now, what does all that mean? Well, first of all, we need to understand from Scripture that God is holy. There is no evil in God. Therefore, God must hate our sin. He must punish our sin. He has every reason to be righteously angry with us. We deserve to be separated from him for all eternity. But another thing we learn from Scripture is that God is not merely holy. As we heard earlier, God is also loving and merciful. God longs to save the very sinners that he ought to condemn. So how does God solve this dilemma? What did God do? Well, he can't simply ignore our sin. He has to judge it. And he can't allow us to remain his enemies because then we would never want to be with him. Our hearts need to be changed. So what did God do? God chose to use our hatred of him as the way to save us from the wrath we deserve. The Father sent his Son to the cross to suffer the judgment against our sin that we deserve, so that we can be forgiven and have new life as God's children. So when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, he's not telling the Father to simply ignore our sin as though it's no big deal, nor is Jesus trying to convince his Father to love us. No, you see, the Father already loved us. The Father is the one who sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. So when Jesus prays the words, Father, forgive them, he's doing that for us so that we will hear it. Jesus is using those words to transform our hearts and minds with the amazing, unconditional love of God. Now at this point, someone might say to me, wait a minute, Pastor. You've been saying that God's love is unconditional. But I'm not so sure I believe that because we learn from the Bible that the Father says he will send some people to hell because they won't trust in his Son. Well, my friends, this evil attitude is confused. Just because some people end up in hell doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. The Bible is clear that God wants all to be saved, even though we don't deserve it. That's why he sent his Son to the cross and damned him in our place so that we could all be saved. Yes, God loves the people who will sadly end up in hell. But why do they end up there? Some people end up in hell because they cling to their sin, they cling to their sinful hatred, and they choose to reject the unconditional love of God. So if people don't want to repent of their sin, if they don't want to be with the God who loves them, then there's only one other option. God remains faithful, even if we remain unfaithful. But the good news I have for you today is Jesus' cross words, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Those words can transform our hearts and minds. These words force us to admit that we're out of our minds and that God's amazing love is the only thing that can begin to bring us true sanity. And so today, Jesus is telling you that the Father forgives you. He forgives you because He chose to judge His own Son in your place. The Father put your sin on His Son and gave Jesus the judgment you deserve. And through that miraculous sacrifice, God wants to prove to you once and for all that His love for you is true and real. I mean, think of it. You and I should have spent eternity in hell, separated from God. But instead, God gave us His own Son to be our Savior. So if you think you have a right to your hatred, if you insist on living as you please and you want nothing to do with the God who loves you, then you doom yourself to hell. But God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that to be the destiny for anybody. God does not want you to be eternally destroyed by the hatred in your heart. And that's why Jesus speaks these cross words to you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. My friends, when God shows us how sinful we are and that we actually deserve His wrath, and then when God shows us that His love was so great that He was willing to judge His only Son for us, once that message captures our hearts, we can begin to love and forgive others just as God has already fully loved and forgiven us. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we who believe in Jesus can love perfectly or forgive perfectly. The fact is, we all struggle with our sinful nature every day, and that means we struggle with hatred every day. But that's exactly why we need Jesus every day. Therefore, the Holy Spirit moves us to come to Jesus every day with a prayer something like this. Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm crazy. Please teach me how to love. I don't have the strength or the wisdom to love others the way you want me to. So forgive my selfishness, forgive the hatred and anger in my heart, and help me to forgive and love others as you already love and forgive me. I ask this because you loved me enough to die for me, even though I was your enemy. So God, forgive me and love me so that I can begin to love and forgive others. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, keep on hearing and believing Jesus' cross words. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because the more you hear and believe those words, the more you will have peace and joy in Jesus. The more you hear and believe these words, the more you will begin to imitate the amazing love and mercy of God. Amen. Now may the